So, a very warm welcome to batch number 5. I'm now joined by Teresa. It's lovely to have her back, sort of 2 editions in a row. And we're going to do lots of batches together with lots of interesting news stories. We've got 4 news stories for you in this batch number 5. And we're going to do headlines for you, and then we're going to go into the stories. And my headlines are calls for speed cameras and 20 miles per hour zone outside this school, and new Royal Stoke technology cuts hospital stays by over a day. I'll say that again. New Royal Stoke technology cut hospital stays by over a day. It doesn't really make sense, but over to Teresa for her headlines.
And my headlines are, firstly, council clashes with Spudman in Staffordshire jacket potato wars, and leaders hit out over fake news, rumours that town centre screen ditched.
Oh, well, that sounds really interesting. I look forward to hearing more about that. So my first story is calls for speed cameras and 20 miles per hour zone outside a school. An MP, head teacher and residents are calling for traffic calming measures and a crackdown on speeding drivers to protect school children on a busy road. Crewe and Nantwich MP Connor Naismith carried out a resident survey in response to concerns around traffic volume, speeding, parking, road safety and accessibility on East Avenue and Western. 38 residents provided detailed feedback about the daily challenges faced on the road, and the Labour MP is now raising the matter with Cheshire Council. Mr. Naismith said our findings clearly show that the current rates of traffic and speeding on East Avenue are a significant safety risk to residents, particularly pupils attending Western Village Primary School. We also know that residents want change and are willing to work collaboratively to find solutions. I look forward to hearing from the council on the implementation of our recommendations. The safety of our children must come first. The campaign is calling for speed cameras, speed humps and a 20 mile per hour zone. Head teacher Tom Cutt said, "I fully support the proposals to introduce a 20 miles per hour speed zone, additional traffic calming measures and improvements to the road surface in the area surrounding Western Village Primary School. The safety of our pupils, staff, parents and local residents is of paramount importance to us, and we have long been aware of the risks posed by increasing traffic congestion and vehicle speeds, particularly during school drop-offs and pick-up times. The implementation of a 20 miles per hour zone would be a significant step towards ensuring that children can travel to and from school safely. Furthermore, the addition of traffic calming measures such as vertical deflections and a zebra crossing near the school entrance would provide much needed protection for pedestrians navigating the busy area." So over to Teresa, who's going to do the next story for us in batch 5.
Thank you, Tim. Here we go. This is the one about the jacket potatoes. A petition calling for the reinstatement of a popular street trader's pitch has been debated by councillors. In February, Staffordshire hot potato seller Spudman posted to his more than 4 million TikTok followers that he had been forced off his pitch as a new flower bed is to be created. However, plans for the flower bed in St. Editha's Square at Tamworth were scrapped following a petition signed by more than 100,000 people, and since then a concrete bench has been erected instead. This caused a new petition signed by more than 25,000 urging the council to restore the original pitch. The petition claimed that distress and resentment has been caused by changing the flower bed to the concrete bench, and called on the council to uphold its previous commitment. The petition was presented to the first full council meeting since the traders returned to the square following the completion of future high street improvement works. Since then, Spudman has been trading from a new spot on the square. Responding to the petition, Councillor Nova Arkney, Cabinet Member for Infrastructure and Local Economy said, "It's important that we deal with this issue truthfully and fairly, and despite what the petition may suggest, Mr. Newman doesn't have and never has had a dedicated or exclusive pitch on St. Editha's Square. The freehold of St. Editha's Square is owned entirely by the council. A search of council records finds no evidence that Mr. Newman owns any form of ownership or formal interest in the square. A further check with the land registry confirmed that no such interest was registered to him. In addition, a review of both current and historic council policy shows we have never granted permanent or transferable rights to trade from a specific location within the square." During the meeting, it was said that the council did take action and change the design on the square, and a transport consultant undertook tracking to ensure that the trailer would fit on the square. To improve communication with the traders, regular meetings have also been established to have a better relationship with the town's market traders. The cabinet member added, "It's also only fair to acknowledge that for Mr. Newman, there has been a significant investment of officer time and support to help him with various issues and challenges, as well as proactively supporting him with his queries and events so we can ensure their success and the safety of the public. This is not a case of a trader being unfairly treated. It is a case of someone being supported extensively and being asked, quite reasonably, to follow the same rules as everybody else. I, of course, respect the right of any member to bring forward issues on behalf of the public, but in this case it is kind of pointless, as the changes asked for have already been made and the councillor bringing this debate was involved in the meetings where those decisions were taken." Council leader Carol Dean claimed that one of the reasons Spudman can't return to his original pitch is because he also utilises his van on the square. She claimed that a new policy set to come before the council soon would prohibit traders keeping their vehicles on the square unless they had a reason to do so. She said, "Our question is, why hasn't Mr. Newman taken up the original space he fought so hard to defend on social media? And we understand this is because he is also choosing to keep his towing vehicle next to the trailer on the square. Whereas the original designs deal with the spatial assessment of only the trailer in the square during trading hours. The adopted street trading policy and draft market policy, which will soon be coming through council for approval, only allows traders on the square to use their towing vehicles or vans to load and unload, with traders having to remove them before trading can begin. Whoever knew it would be so difficult just to get yourself a baked potato, eh?"
And I just fancy one now as well. Okay, so my next story now is a new Royal Stoke technology cuts hospital stays by over a day. A new digital tool has helped to cut the stays of Royal Stoke patients readmitted to the hospital by over a day. The High Risk of Delayed Transfer of Care HRD tool, which has been on trial at the hospital since December last year, uses GP and hospital health records to flag those who are likely to be stuck in hospital longer than needed. This includes those with additional care needs or living alone, enabling staff to better plan timely and appropriate care. Almost 2,000 patients at the University Hospitals of North Midlands NHS Trust, the UHNM, were flagged by the tool in the first 3 months, helping to ease pressure and free up beds in areas including the emergency department, ED, and older adults wards. It runs on an opt-out basis, meaning that teams using the tool will be able to access health and care records unless they're asked not to by the patient. Dr. Andrew Davey, GP Lead for Research and Development in ED, said this tool was developed to help us spot patients in our community who are most likely to face delays. Leaving hospitals such as those who are frail, living alone, or need extra support at home. Too often, we wait until we've treated a patient's immediate medical problem before making discharge plans, which can cause unnecessary delays while we wait for things like therapy assessments or social care reviews. The HRD tool changes that, drawing on information from a patient's care records, including medical conditions, care packages, and home circumstances, to identify those at high risk of delayed discharge as early as possible. This allows the right teams to step in sooner and start planning discharge right from the front door. On average, we've already seen hospital stays reduced by more than a day for readmitted patients flagged by this tool. This makes a huge difference. It's better for patients, reduces pressure on beds, and helps us keep the system flowing. The opt-out approach is key for the success of the HRD tool because it ensures that our clinicians have time to access the information they need to make early, informed decisions. This means we can identify risk patients sooner, coordinate support faster, and avoid unnecessary delays. Feedback from both clinical teams and patients thus far has been very positive, and looking ahead, we also hope to work more closely with local authorities to improve communication when patients with existing care packages come into hospital, reducing wasted visits and ensuring a smoother return home. It's all about delivering safer, more joined-up care for our local community. The tool has been developed in-house by UHNM's Business Intelligence Service in partnership with the Integrated Care Board, the ICB, and Midlands Partnership NHS Foundation Trust, the MPFT. The North Staffordshire GP Federation, NHS Midlands and Lancashire Commissioning Support Unit, the CSU, Keele University, Staffordshire County Council and Stoke-on-Trent City Council, along with support from UHNM Charity and the Academic Research Council. That's quite a big collaboration. Rob Chambers from UHNM Front of House Frailty Team said this collaborative new approach has provided a very clear medical plan through robust communication through our teams, and the whole process worked quickly and effectively. Okay, so over to Teresa, who's going to do the final story now for us in batch number 5.
Thank you, Tim. Leaders hit out over fake news. Council leaders insist a town centre big screen is still going ahead amid fake news rumours that it had been scrapped. Newcastle Borough Council's plans for the digital screen in High Street were approved last November, but work on the project has been delayed due to issues with underground water pipes. The delay resulted in rumours circulating social media and... The delay resulted in rumours circulating social media that the plans for the screen had been ditched, but Deputy Council Leader Stephen Sweeney told the Finance, Assets and Performance Scrutiny Committee that work on the scheme would start soon. The screen, measuring 1.5 metres by 2.9 metres, will be mounted on a post close to the junction with Hicks Street. It is being funded out of Newcastle's £11 million Future High Street Fund allocation and will be used to show sporting events, events of national importance and community messages. Councillor Sweeney dispelled the rumours about the screen during an update on the Future High Street Fund projects. He said, "Some gossip has gone around the internet that the big television screen isn't going to happen. Well, it is. It should be starting work tomorrow. There's been a delay because there's water pipes that go underneath and Severn Trent want to make sure our engineers do it right." Committee member Joan Wealdon said that similar rumour was rife on the internet and suggested that the council could do more to correct such conspiracy theories. She said, "What might be helpful if we used multimedia to do progress reports so that people are informed that it is happening and they get it from the horse's mouth instead of sitting in little groups and getting very cross?" Committee Chair Mark Holland suggested that the town centre screen itself, once operational, could be used to counteract fake news. Councillor Sweeney said he was recently challenged over another false social media rumour that the council had stopped the range moving onto the home base site in Newcastle. But he expressed doubt that the council could actually prevent people believing such things. He said, "It was wrong every inch of the way. Why would a council do it? It's not even a council building. We can certainly look at putting more on social media, but once people have got something in their heads, I'm not sure you're going to convince them otherwise." Councillor Mike Stubbs, a member of the opposition Labour group, claimed that rumours about the closure of Kidsgrove Sports Centre had helped bring down the previous Labour administration. He said, "A lot of what was said, 90% of what was put on social media, was lies. Certain councillors didn't fight against that, so we live by the sword." Ooh.
So keep listening, got more stories coming up for you in batch number 6.